everyone. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and very happy to be here this Friday night. Gosh, I can't believe another week went by. This is just getting ridiculous. I mean, I've got Miriam Delicato on the line, and she's laughing. You're not supposed to be making any noise over there yet. I didn't introduce you yet.
Well, it's been a good start to the show already behind the scenes, Carrie.
I know. It's cracking me up. No, just to have a tiny bit of professionalism here. just working on that a little bit here. Anyway, it's just, you know, Miriam is a good friend of mine. So she's a lot of fun. What was I going to say? It's just the weeks are going really fast because there's so much stuff going on. And it's like my head's spinning. So let's see. I want to cover a couple things before we introduce Miriam Delicato, my guest. And first of all, I want to let everyone know that I've got not one, not two, but three live events coming up in the next week or two. And the next 2 weeks. And I just want to let you all know what they are. And then they should be advertised on my site soon. I hope very soon. They're supposed to be up there now, actually. But we're not going to say anything about that to Tommy. My webmaster. He works very hard. Really, he does. He could use more money. Poor guy. But at any rate, what was I going to say? Okay, so live streams. It's not actually going to be live stream anymore because they cost too much. So we are going to go through Ustream, and hopefully that'll work well. And what we've got is Tuesday night, we've got Courtney Brown, and his remote viewers have remote viewed the exploding planet, which what I understand to be is Maldek. It was looking in the past to ascertain what happened, if there really was a planet that exploded and I think caused it's the Kuiper Belt. He's going to go through that whole bunch of evidence that they came across in terms of their remote viewing. And these are some of the best remote viewers in the world. So that's Courtney Brown on Tuesday. And we are charging for these events. Camelot needs money to keep operating, and we have lots of plans and things we're trying to do. So in the members, people who have already subscribed are going to get in, depending on the level you subscribed at, with either a discount or actually free. It just depends. But the Courtney Brown event will be $7. It's not going to break you or anything, but if you're a subscriber, you get these things for free if you spend $100 a year. And that helps us stay in operation. The other thing is that we have on Thursday Project Bluebeam. That's the 19th of July. Hard to believe it's going to be halfway through the month of July. I'm just having a really hard time believing that. And in the background, my dog is playing with his toy. You know, that's extremely unprofessional, but I'm going to have to grab that away from him at some point. Anyway, let's see what else. Okay, so that's Project Bluebeam, and we're going to have amazing speakers on Project Bluebeam. Courtney Brown is going to join us on that. And we're going to have Anthony Sanchez. We're going to have Mike Harris, who he's a radio show host over at Republic Broadcasting. And it's not actually his area of expertise, but he is interacting and part of a group that Gordon Duff has formed. Gordon Duff is the senior editor of Veterans Today, who has now been doing a tremendous amount of what is actually disclosing information about the ET presence and various things like that. So what we're trying to do is Gordon won't come on my live stream. So I've actually asked Mike, who is a very good friend of his and part of a group that they formed called, let me see if I've got that in front of me. I forget the name of it, but at any rate, I've talked about it. Anyway, he's part of that group. So he's going to kind of represent them and hopefully give some of the take on Project Bluebeam and what the thoughts might be on that from their point of view. And then we've got George Kabasalis, who's been definitely following that story for a while. George Lobono, who a lot of people won't know, who is a journalist who wrote a book called Alien Mind. And you can search on the internet for that book, Alien Mind. And he is, he's got a whole different take than most people on the ET presence and all the sort of, I guess, political, social, political interactions of those beings and those races, and how they terraform various planets, how they compete for raw materials, et cetera, out on the in the universes, multiverses. And very interesting guy. We actually did an interview with him quite some time ago. It's out on audio. I think it's out there on our site on audio. And then we've got, so I think I've named everybody. Anthony Sanchez, of course, who is, well, he's very well up on things like Project Bluebeam, because he's been following the whole nanosatellite situation in our skies, as well as through whistleblowers getting information about Dulce and other things. And he's had multiple threats on his life. So it's going to be a fascinating discussion. I actually invited Miriam, but she turned me down. So we can talk about that while she's here on my radio show, because at least we get her tonight. And then just to let you know that the following Tuesday, we have another live stream after that on the 24th with a guest who I had on my radio show about a week ago called David E. Martin, who had a huge response to his brand new book that he's just put out called Apostles of Power, which is all about buying the presidency, a group of 12 people who were assigned to buy the presidency and then to fix certain future events in the world. And he wrote it as fiction, but actually claims that it's all fact and that he was the person who was approached to be one of the 12. And he went along for the ride to a certain point and then he turned them down. And it's a fascinating story, I have to say. So he is going to be doing, we just didn't have enough time to really go over everything with him. So we're bringing him back. This time it's going to cost you $7 if you're not a subscriber. And so anyway, that's all what's happening. And so we just have a huge amount of stuff going on in the next week and a half. And we hope that that's going to be exciting to you as it is to us. Let's see, it turns out my webmaster was actually trying to reach me. Unfortunately doesn't know that I'm on the air. No, just kidding. He probably knows, but at any rate, okay. You know, it's hard to keep track of the time when you're sort of a techie and you're in your own little Idaho, so to speak. Just kidding, Tommy. But at any rate, I have Miriam Delicato. She is a contactee from way back, and she has been getting information from a group she calls the Tall Blondes. And I'm hearing a lot of background noise, so if you can mute yourself, whoever. We have more than one person on the line here, so if you could do that. Now we're going to try to take calls for Miriam as well as talk about the Great Gathering, what her progress is with that. She is a person who is very in touch with the indigenous people around the world, especially the Hopi, and we're hoping to get an update and a report on all of that and how they're viewing current events and where we're at now, well into halfway through 2012. So Miriam, if you'd like to give yourself an introduction for those people that are listening who aren't already very familiar with you, that'd be great. And then we can kind of go into some different areas.
Okay, Carrie, thank you. And it's so great to be here. Finally, we were chuckling at the beginning of the show because every time we try to do something, I try to do something with Carrie that's going to be live or aired or something, I just get cut right off the show. I mean, completely. It's just gone. So the same thing was happening on this program as well. So that's what all the chuckles were about at the beginning there. And so, Yeah, you know, we're here today because there's a lot of very interesting things happening. And my story goes way back to 1988 with tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed ETs. And the interesting thing for me in this whole process of where we're going and where we are right now is that everything that these beings told me from that time has become a reality or looks like it's going to become a reality. And that is both inspiring and beautiful and also quite frightening. So, you know, the ideas and that they give us, the information that they're giving us, these beings, some of them, not all of this, the ETs are good, that's for sure. They're really trying to do their best to stop or to avert certain disasters with humanity itself and where we're going. And that's really what my focus and my passion is. That's how I take all of that information that was given to me and is still being given to me in different pockets. You know, they'll still come to me and talk to me through telepathy, through my dreams, through my meditations. And I still have sightings of craft, but I have not actually physically seen a being in some time. But they are definitely around, and I know just recently a woman in Tucson had a very strange experience. I was connecting with her, and the day that I met up with her, she had a... I feel confident that she was met, or sort of an ET crossed her path the day that we were meeting. And she's still kind of shaking over that a little bit, trying to figure it out, but... You know, they just like to make their presence known every once in a while to let us know that they're still there and that they're physically here. And that's a really, really important part of the work that we're all doing, Carrie, because it's about educating people about what is really going on. And not what's only going on now, but how that fits into where we're going, which is an even bigger picture. It's so big and broad. And that's where all of the work that you're doing is so important for people to understand that there's not one viewpoint, there's many viewpoints because the puzzle is so vast. But my work in the last few years has not been focused as much on extraterrestrials and talking about them as it has been about trying to implement what it is that they see as being part of the solution to this massive situation that we're in on a physical level, because we're walking a really destructive path, and being able to see into the future for what the problems are is a really handy tool. And of course, a lot of people who have had ET contact have been shown those visions of the future. A lot of people that have worked in black op projects have been shown that future. And I think together we have a responsibility to do our part to change that future, and to make sure that the darker forces that are out there are not going to take over and destroy us. So my work with the Great Gathering, which is has been an exceptionally, excruciatingly slow process. And it's not about a bunch of people getting together at one gathering. It's about so much more than that. And it's still being worked on every single day. And a part of that is, a part of it, not entirely, has to do with the indigenous people and their ancient cultures and ancient beliefs that tie into all of this that you and I and everyone is talking about. Because, of course, the ancient cultures have the myths and the histories, the stories, the beliefs. And when we delve into that, we begin to see that they have the answers to a lot of the questions that we're just beginning to realize. So I spend a lot of time with the Hopi, who are located in Arizona. And I've been very honored to do so. I've been in contact with other traditional people as well, but Hopi has been my focus for many years now. And the purpose for that is because these beings that I had contact with specifically told me that I had to focus on them, that I had to be there to support them, that I needed to give them
the tools that they need when they decide to come forward that they'll be asking for. And that recently happened, Carrie, as you know, and you know, hopefully we can have a bit of a conversation about exactly what happened with that, which is extraordinary. They came forward for the very first time in history with a message and a warning for the world. So did you, I mean, I'll pass it back to you, Carrie, and maybe we can talk about that.
Sorry, I am right here. I just, okay, interesting. I appreciate all of that, Miriam, and I'm sure that people listening do appreciate getting some background from you, although I also think that a lot of people do know who you are. So at this moment, I just want to make a short announcement here, and it's kind of, you know, one of those weird things. And the reason my webmaster was calling me and forgetting the time, he was a little excited. No, it's just that one of our friends discovered a tracking device in their car, and actually, you know, that's just really interesting. This is a person we don't know super well, but they have joined, you know, the Camelot group and so on. And I would not reveal who they are or anything like that. But I was just trying to explain to Tommy that this is just something that we take for granted. At least we did, Bill and I, things like tracking devices in your car. And we were actually told we had a tracking device. We also had very clear evidence of it way back in the days when we were doing some investigation around the SERPO project. So that was years ago. Same car. So I assume that I still have the device. I just assume my car is bugged. You know, I hope they like my singing. No,
that's great.
But you know how they say, if you want to reach the CIA or whatever, just talk to the wall. It's really like that. So I have to say that's not a joke. It's real. In my case, in our case, in some way, that is.
Well, you know, Carrie, can I say something about that? That's really interesting, though, because back in the day with me, going all the way back to 1990, I had my phone tapped. I had every single piece of mail that I had ripped blatantly open. I had these weird markings all over my mail. Everyone around me was terrified by this. So, you know, we get this. We know that it happens from time to time. What's interesting now, though, is they can't track us all the time. And what's fascinating about it is that when someone does have attention paid to them by an organization like that, it means that they're onto something that's really, really, really big. I just wanted to say that.
Okay, well, Camelot is always on to something really, really big in that case. No, just, you know, it just happens to be the case. And we just, this is just customary, okay? We are into stuff here, and we are breaking stories every week. New information coming to light, very important information, and we do this on purpose. We intend to stay on the cutting edge, and that's where we started, and that's where we continue to be. And the other thing to keep in mind is that there are different levels of surveillance, different levels of agencies that are surveilling all of us. And, some of them are new in the game and some of them are, you know, like police force type people, who have really sort of old fashioned equipment, and others have much more sophisticated equipment like the NSA. So it just depends, who they kind of, which, group of dogs they sick on you, so to speak. Could be anybody. And so at this point, you know, it's not something to panic over. I just want to make that announcement because, you know, people do kind of tend to go off the deep end a little bit when they find this out, especially if you are kind of, someone who hasn't, you know, you're in the game, you're following Camelot, but you don't realize it could happen to you. I think that's when people just get blown away, when they see, you know, the real nuts and bolts evidence in front of their eyes, such as finding a tracking device, you know, in their home or car. This stuff is, we're not making this stuff up, folks. This is really going on. So to get back to the subject at hand, and Miriam, thank you for adding a bit there. What I'd like to do is just kind of start with wherever you're comfortable. What would you like to do? Would you like to kind of, you know, go through the latest information you've been getting, or do you want to give a bit of a history in terms of the stuff that you were told? I think what would be interesting for people who aren't that familiar is to hear, you know, some of the things you were told in the past and how they're starting to happen now.
That's great. I think that's perfect, Carrie. Because they're so relevant to today. It's remarkable. I mean, I'm sitting back and, you know, you started the program by saying, oh my God, a week's gone by. What's happened? I mean, it's a bit over the top these days, how quickly the days and the hours and the weeks and months are going. And I'm actually in shock because I realized that almost a year has passed and it feels like it was about a month ago. It doesn't feel like a year at all. So it's really fascinating because when these beings originally came to me, a lot of these changes that are happening to us, they gave this information to me in detail. And I've been fascinated watching this process from my own viewpoint because I would say to people that that our reality, our time, our reality is going to shift, that the understanding of time itself was going to drastically change, that things were going to speed up, that our physical bodies were going to be different, DNA was going to be activated. They told me that solar flares were becoming and hitting the Earth and what an effect that they would have. And I'll go back to that a little bit to give a little bit more detail because it's a really important point. And how the Earth changes were really going to start to become drastic in 2010 and that they were going to continue to progress over time. And so a lot of these major issues that they were talking about have happened. They said that there would be a time when, of course, the financial situation, the entire planet was going to be shifting from the financial paradigm that we have now into a new paradigm. And they actually say that shift is going to come from people, not from the higher-ups, not from governments, but from the people themselves, and that we are going to be the ones that are going to start a new system and just sort of stop using them. So I'm still sort of waiting to see what kind of a system is someone out there must be building right now, Carrie, for us, that is not part of this current paradigm, but rather something that is more in alignment for the people themselves. And I'm waiting to see that still happen. And I don't, you may even know something more than I do, because I'm not as in touch with what's happening with people in the world as you are. And they spoke a lot about how the shifting consciousness of humanity was going to affect the daily lives of people and how it was going to affect our actual understanding of life itself. I mean, hey, that is so clear. It's incredibly clear. I mean, there's nothing even to debate on that point. They also said some things that were very interesting about the indigenous communities by saying that, and you remember this is back in 1988 to a 22-year-old girl, which is how old I was at that time. And they were telling me that the indigenous communities were going to rise up and begin to voice this ancient knowledge to humanity, and that they would begin to give us warnings themselves about what they had been told and held on to for thousands of years, and that these indigenous communities were essentially, they were supposed to take their rightful place, meaning as our guides to how to live life. They were supposed to move into a position that was more geared along those lines, and that if that were to happen and if we could have that take place, that the world would come back into balance. Now, again, it's putting another group into a position of authority, but with them, it's not, well, with certain tribes out there for sure, it is not meant as a power position, but just as a sharing of knowledge of what it is that they carry. So the big issues that I see coming still are, and there's one that's a little bit unnerving to me, and it should be to everybody here listening, and that is the food supply. You know, right from the very beginning, they told me that that there would come a time when no aid would be able to be given by any, quote, government or group, that you would have to take care of yourself. And this is not fear-mongering. It's a reality if we keep on the same paradigm that we're walking on right now. And that is one issue that when we look at the big corporations for what it is that they're doing, such as Monsanto, the bottled water industry, some of the big ones that are out there, when we look at that, we can clearly see that there is an absolute control coming, a potential control coming entirely over food, water, shelter, all of the big ones. And, of course, a lot of the guests that you have on the program here, Carrie, talk about those things. But from my perspective, from the ETs from 1988, it comes back to the people, and it comes back to the grassroots of what it is that that individual is doing, both spiritually and physically and mentally, to prepare and to change. Because if we can change as an individual, then we create that changed paradigm around us. So we don't necessarily have to go that route. There was a couple of years ago where I was getting nervous. I was getting a nervous feeling. I didn't let that out to the public, but it was definitely present. And I was getting some messages that there were some really big things happening behind the scenes, and there was potential disaster like war that could have been coming. And somehow it was diluted, and we evaded it. And as a result of that, we moved into this new phase of transition where all of the truths were going to come out. And these sound like very simple things, Carrie, because I know your listeners get into some really scientific, down, you know, pinpointed discussion.
Welcome back, folks. Carrie, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Well, we have, you know, it's just a bit of drama going on behind the scenes here, but it's all good. I do want to say that some of these old school surveillance devices are also, they smack of things like LAPD or, you know, a local police department that decides to do some surveillance, and also the DEA. There's all kinds of other people that do surveillance, not just on Camelot and, you know, the lofty things we deal with. So just wanted to throw that out there as an addendum. Let's see, Miriam. Okay. I think it's great what you just said. And it's really right on, in terms of how it's what I call the X factor, which is consciousness. Mm-hmm. And no one knows what that is gonna birth, in essence, over the next few years. And in fact, this energy and the energetics we're in that are changing everything and making things, some things come to light in a major, major way that have been hidden for so long, et cetera. This is all what's going on right now. And this is how this is going to affect people, what they do. And I know it may seem like a departure, but, you know, for example, the Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise marriage breaking up, to where the child, she was worried about the child being taken onto this boat that the Scientologists, take kids onto, and so on and so forth, to do training with them and all this kind of stuff. This is grounds for divorce. I have to agree with her. But I'm saying is this is consciousness. Okay. These are people waking up. What they do about waking up, That's the unknown. That's the great unknown. And that's what's going to be so fascinating to see.
I couldn't agree with you more, Carrie. And that's one of the biggest points that they talked about in 88 and how that was going to work. You know, the solar flares, where we're heading as far as solar flares, the big solar flares are still coming. And that's one of my biggest concerns, is the massive solar flares that are still going to be coming to the Earth, and what effect they're going to have to our planet, to our way of life. But on top of that, what are those solar flares doing to our physical bodies? Because the solar flares were, when I was given this information, the solar flares were going to start to hit the Earth. And when they did, they were going to be coming down and touching all, everything that's in, alive here on the planet, and that includes us as human beings. And it was going to have an effect on our brain waves. And that is already happening. It's affecting our electrical brain waves. That's why when there's solar flares, people can become illogical, desperate. They can get a little crazy, or they can even go into deep meditations and feel completely connected to things. And it depends on where those pathways to the brain are already set. If they're already set in depression, then the depression's going to get worse. If they're set in something that's more connected to a higher self or a higher energy frequency, then it's going to blast that open even further. And that's part of, in my view, that's part of what this transition is all about. And so this is one of the points that we need to be aware of that's coming, is the solar flares and what they're going to do to us physically, let alone everything that they might wipe out down here. And then the other point that's really important, again, to state again, is the food production. Again, there's going to be this massive shift at some point, and I don't believe that it's this year. I don't believe that it's going to even be next year. But probably within the next 3 years, we're going to be seeing a massive shift in food production. And what and how that looks like, I'm not sure yet. I don't have the details on it. But what they're telling me all the time through this telepathy is to make sure that I'm prepared to be able to care for myself, my family, and my neighbors with food. And that getting everyone growing their gardens and participating in helping the food supply that way is going to alleviate whatever this is. It's not going to happen everywhere in the world, but I think that there's going to be a major massive disaster somewhere, like maybe even a whole continent or something, where something's going to happen and it's going to affect their food supply, which will affect the rest of the world. So if I get more information and details on that, yes, I would share that with you in right away. But it doesn't work that way, because the shifting paradigm of thought is what it is that's determining where we're going in this future. So I can see the future. Many of us can. We can see it, sense it. Some of us have absolute clear visions of it. But it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. It means that it's a possibility. That's why looking into the future is so challenging. And you and I were discussing before it came on the program a few days ago that I've been sensing that something in November is going to shift. It's going to be eye-opening. It's going to be a very big announcement to the world. It's going to shock the world. I don't know what that is. And I don't believe that it has anything to do with the election in the United States. It's something else. It may revolve around that, sure. But it is not about the election itself in the United States, because people I know would ask that. This has to do with a revelation that comes forward where it's announced to the world by a world leader. A world leader is going to reveal something sometime in November to March of next year. And that's a really big deal. So, you know, that's really, really important. And Kiri, I wanted to talk a little bit about Egypt and what we're going to be doing there, because we are going to be in Egypt with Camelot, which I'm very, very, very much looking forward to. And what the purpose of that time on the Mayan calendar and what's happening with that and how it relates to everything, Kiri?
Well, yes. I mean, I can tell you what I have envisioned, and I have to hear what you want to bring to the table on that score. Egypt is going to be a very interesting trip. And I think that, you know, it's going to be very important to sort of begin to bring a certain group of people to hold the frequency is really what the way I see it, and to lift the frequency to put it in a good space. There is some weird dynamic going on right now. Some of the people may have seen the articles going around where, I don't know if this is completely accurate, maybe it's a scare tactic, but the Muslim Brotherhood claiming that they want to take down the pyramids of all things. I mean, this would destabilize the entire planet, let me say. The Great Pyramid is like a fulcrum upon which the entire planet is sort of resting in a certain way, energetically speaking. And I can assure you that this is no superficial matter. And I believe that there could be, this could trigger a war. Now, whether they're manufacturing this because it's a hot spot emotionally for people, I don't know. I do know that that going there during that really important time when the energetics is going to be sort of very, let's say, high. There's a high level of chaos. And this is all part of things that Terrence McKenna talked about and has to do with novelty theory, et cetera. So there are things going on around that time that some people like to pin down to the exact day of the 21st of December, although I think, you know, because of the way planets work and because of the way all of this goes, I think it's going to be a much more pervasive time. In other words, it's going to happen over several weeks rather than a day. Mm-hmm. And even I would say, you know, as you would agree, I'm sure, over the next few years. I mean, we're already in it and everyone is experiencing this stuff now. It's just a matter of degree. So it's a matter of escalation.
I think you're right, Carrie. And it's, see, the reason why I said that I wanted to participate and I accepted this beautiful invitation to go to Egypt was because this is a really important time on the planet itself. And there's one thing that we can be guaranteed of, and that's probably that everyone that has any exposure whatsoever to the world knows about 2012 and this Mayan calendar. And whether they're religious or spiritual or even atheists, they're going to be thinking about 2012 and what's going to be happening. So it's an opportunity for us to sit and really energetically connect in with one another in some kind of prayer and focus truly on what it is that we want for the future. I mean, we're very aware now scientifically that groups of people that pray with intention, with absolute intention, to, for example, lower crime rates in a city, those are they're proven statistics. So the end of the year is going to be an exceptionally powerful time of prayer, of meditation, of thought, of creating in your mind and your energetic body what it is that you want the future to be. So going to Egypt is very powerful. Now, one of the interesting things for me also, Carrie, is that a lot of little things were told to me in 1988 by these blonde-haired, blue-eyed extraterrestrials, star beings, interdimensional beings, whatever anybody wants to call them, okay? They were told, they told me that they're the caretakers of this Earth and that they come from, and people have asked me this all the time, where did they come from? Well, I'm going to tell you where they come from for the first time ever. Because I'm not going to tell you what star it is or what planet it's from, but I'm going to tell you where they come. They told me that they actually came from, meaning where all of life comes from, and that is the Great Central Sun. And that's what they called it, the Great Central Sun. And it is a place that is very, very, very much based in golden light energy. And it's very difficult to get in, because it's almost like a shielding effect. And once you get in, that's where the world that they come from exists. So this energetic place that they come from is, of course, tied to all of the ancient cultures, and it is also tied to Egypt. And I was told many, you know, all those years ago that one day they would find the room underneath the pyramids and that eventually someone would get into it. Now, what you're telling me, because I wasn't aware of what, you know, what you just shared, Carrie, this is the first time I'm hearing it, makes me very nervous because if they get in there and the right wrong people get their hands on the technology that's lying within the pyramid itself, it could destroy everything. And it will destroy, it would destroy this planet if it was used improperly. So the future, from what I was told back in 1988, is very much playing out the way that they said that it would. The destruction on the planet through natural forces are still going to be coming. There's still much more coming in that regard. Next is probably volcanoes. The volcanoes are going to start erupting probably within the next 8 months. Volcanoes are going to start to erupt. And the reason for this is partly because of the solar flares that are going to be coming. They're going to have an effect and it's going to be going deep into the earth. So we're going to have some major volcanic activity over the course of the next 8 months. There's going to be a major announcement that's going to take place sometime between November and March that's going to shift. It's going to shift consciousness, whether it's spiritual consciousness or just people getting mad is yet to be seen. And the other big issues are that the indigenous are going to continue to come forward and to share with us prophecies of what's happening. And one of the things that happened with Hopi recently is that the elders, all of the elders from the mother village of Hopi have been, you know, they've never come forward from the mother village. They've never spoken publicly, ever, in the history of their people. Elders from other villages have spoken, but never from this village have these really high traditional leaders ever said anything to the world. They made a decision to come out to the public in the last few months, Carrie. And the reason that they did this was because of a very serious matter, because they have the United States government that is bearing down on them to take away their right to water underneath from aquifers underneath their land. And although this appears to be a political issue, I assure you that it is straight from Hopi prophecy. And the reason that the Hopis have come forward is because now they are talking prophecy. They've said that one of the biggest and last prophecies, one of the biggest prophecies that they have is that their water would be taken from them. And if this happens, they say, if this happens, then the world will dry up. This is the exact wording of the Hopi elders that are there. And we can shove it off and we can say, oh, well, that's all nice and dandy. And, you know, everybody's having problems around the world. But I caution everyone, because my witnessing of these extraordinary people has been that they truly do have an essence of this understanding that they, you know, this understanding that they have is a reality, that they are somehow at the microcosm of the world. And I most certainly went there through the guidance of these tall beings that I have contact with. And I'm often guided to go there at certain times, even now, to give messages, to do certain work, to speak to them. So there's a word of caution there as well. So they just recently came out, and I have some information on that on my website, and they just have put up a website themselves to try and get people to understand that this is not about a governmental issue. And I think that it's a great metaphor for the rest of us, that it's not a governmental issue. It's about people making choices to support this planet. And that also has been part of these things that were foretold to me by these beings in 1988. So it looks to me as though, Carrie, the work that you're doing with all of the different projects and things that are coming forward from all of these ET races that are coming out of the woodwork, and all of the organizations, the Black Ops, and, you know, the different projects that are ongoing out there, are all trying to come down to who's controlling the planet, who's controlling it. There's nothing else really in it. If you were to take it right down, that's what it's about. And the control is supposed to be in the hands of the people, humanity, and that is where we're going. But before, to wrap this up, Carrie, which is really interesting, everyone's been looking at December 2012 as a date, and it's not. Like you said, we are in it. The Mayans say we are in it. The Hopis have said, look, we're connected to the Mayans. We're connected to the Mayans. But the end of the month, at the end of the year, is not this big date that something is going to happen. It's this whole time. And they already foresee, they have more prophecies that they're waiting to come to happen. And they're looking at those things as being more of the stepping stones of which path we're going to be walking on. So between now, which is 2012 and 2015, at the end of 2015, so we have, let's say, 13, 14, 15, we have another 3 years. And after that, Carrie, if we don't have it together in another 3 years, if great change has not come to this planet within 3 years, then I myself will have very big doubts about whether or not we're going to survive into the future. And that's not a dire outlook. It's a reality. And it's something that I'm being told by my contacts.
Okay. Well, thank you for all of that. That's very interesting. Certainly we are, I don't know how it is for other people, but here in California, we are having a heat wave. There is some very interesting cloud cover, chemtrails, up there. And there's also some major solar storms that are happening right now. In fact, there is supposedly CME, I guess Mitch Batros talked about it, heading here, right now. And so like she, Miriam is saying, we are in it. The solar storms are happening. The escalation in that regard is happening. You may not have heard, Miriam, my live event with Courtney Brown about a couple weeks ago now, in which his remote viewers remote viewed 2013. Mm-hmm. And what they came back with was a tremendous amount of earth change. Now, whether or not that's going to be accurate. Remote viewers can see possible realities. They can see timelines, certain timelines. They may not know exactly which timeline they're looking at. Of course, they try to put in controls to focus the remote viewers and so on. But so I was going to say it's not rocket science, but he is doing a scientific method, and it's quite fascinating what their approach is. But the bottom line is that, of course, the Earth changes are continuing. They're already happening. I was going to say you talked about a food supply that's going to be in jeopardy, and I can say that the entire country of Japan's food supply at this time is certainly in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And may continue, in fact, may get worse, my understanding is, and there are also prophecies about that. I certainly don't hope, I hope that's not going to be the case. And the tragedy has happened already. That is as people will know, well in motion. And in fact, even here in California, the San Onofre nuclear power plant in Southern California here has just been, they closed it down in January, and then they gave sort of a new report recently in the news the last day or so. Now they're saying all these, they're not fuel rods, but there's some kind of rods under the ground, whatever, pipelines, and that they're all rotted and due to some kind of earth, change effect on them and so on and so forth, and that it's much more pervasive than they realized. There's also evidence that Stuxnet, for example, the virus that has been created by what appears to be at least techies in Israel and with the help of the U.S., from what I understand, it can create a kind of a nuclear blackmail. So we don't know whether this is, it's always a problem when you get information out of the news because you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if it's a true story or whether the reporter themselves is being deceived. What we do know is that the plan is closed down. We know there's a problem. We know it seems to be escalating since January. None of this is good news. I mean, you know, these are hugely populated areas here in California. I can assure you that the people down south of me are not happy about this at all. What's going to happen? It's almost like there's a built-in sort of obsolescence to these plants, such that they're all around this time seeming to go into some kind of level of breakdown or meltdown or whatever. So these are questions. But the trouble is that when you have Earth, and I agree with you with the volcanism. I think people that follow Dutch Sense, they will see that there's a lot of magma movement also in under the ground in California here, but in other hot spots. Up where you are, up in that area, I'm sure you're aware of that. And also in the Southwest, even south of Hopi, for that matter. So we have a sort of a real moving target going on here, and it will be affected by many things. In other words, if you have volcanism, that may be all fine and good, and you may be fine. But if you have a power plant that's destabilized by the volcanism, then you've got a whole nother ball game. And so this is how the human interacts with the natural. And again, then, it, of course, you throw Stuxnet, nuclear blackmail, and so on and so forth into this. And, you know, the equations, you know.
The equations just keep going. Absolutely.
So it isn't a time when you can just kind of kick back. And if you do want to sit back and bliss yourself out, that's okay. But I would urge you at this time to try to stay awake and aware, and keep in mind that helping your fellow human may be the order of the day, not so much blissing yourself out.
I agree. And Carrie, so I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to maybe talk about, are we still on the air right now? Sorry.
Yeah, as far
okay.
as I know.
I just wanted to say that I have a suggestion for you, Carrie. Camelot is a very well-known organization, and what we talk about here, you know, is all about the energy and the understanding of the power of that energy as an individual, as a group, as, you know, the interdimensionally, all of those things.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Miriam Delicato. So right before the break, Miriam, you just asked me a loaded question.
I like to do that to you, Carrie.
Yeah, no problem. You know, it takes one to know one. No, it's okay. But, you know, what I would say is we could do that. I would be happy to do a guided meditation for people through Camelot at some point. The main thing is there are things that have to be sort of put in place, protections, et cetera. I imagine we can probably do that as well. So sure, be in touch with me. Let's set it up and let's make it happen.
Well, what I was thinking, the reason I was thinking about this, Carrie, is because you know a lot of people that are very in tune. And I know that behind the scenes, there's always, you know, there's some energetic work that we assist each other on at times, and help to protect, put up protections and to healings and different things that have come up over the years. And they've been very, very, very powerful when we've done that. I know for myself, when I've had my issues with the car accidents, which are quite done now, thank you very much. The healings that were sent to me through the people from Camelot, I know saved my life. When I had that accident in LA, I know how powerful it was, because as soon as it started, I felt it. And within, I think, 24 hours, I woke up out of my daze that I had been in, because I had head trauma. I finally woke up after 5 days and said, what happened, you know, kind of what happened, how long have I been in there? And so I know how powerful it is. So it's more like an intention of putting specific focus on a on an area. And I don't know that I would necessarily be the one totally qualified to do all of that, but maybe with the team that you have around, maybe we could formulate just things to think about instead of having
I think it would require several people to sort of maybe orchestrate something, but we can definitely go down that road. And I know that, you know, Art Bell became a little paranoid with the incredible power that can be generated by linking up humans in one place. This is something that I think that we're working towards. I think certainly the Camelot audience would be a great audience to put that together with. And we have enough people that would be able to lead it and make sure that sort of the best energies come through. So, we can definitely, you know, look at that in the future. You know, while we're on this subject, I did want to sort of go back to the CMEs because someone has posted an update in that regard. There's a revised forecast saying that this, and I'm going to read it. The CME launched toward the Earth yesterday is an X flare moving faster than originally thought. Analysts at the Goddard Space Weather Lab have revised their forecast, advancing the cloud's expected arrival time to 9:17 Universal Time. So that's 5:17 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. And I guess that means it's a little earlier than that. So middle of the night tonight here in July 14th. Auroras are likely, and there are aurora alerts. There's a big sunspot AR1520 unleashed the solar flare. And because it faces directly to Earth, they're saying the blast is geo-effective. So at any rate, these kinds of things are going to be going on and continue to go on. And I think that, I don't know about you, but I can tell the color of the light has changed drastically. And some days like today, it's very obvious. It's kind of a weird white light. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I haven't, Carrie, because I live so far north that half the time I'm covered in cloud.
Even with the cloud cover, I'm noticing it here today, for example. But our cloud cover, I'm sure, is a lot lighter than perhaps what you're dealing with up there. It's a whole different ballgame. You know, I've got somebody else who is writing to me who lives near Mount Rainier. Mm-hmm. And saying that that they've been getting some very strange fog that's very thick and hangs around till afternoon. And not sure what that's all about, but they just wanted me to know about it and what the fog contains, what's really going on up there, I don't know. But at least one person is writing into Camelot with stuff like that. I mean, we are kind of a centralized place where all this information comes in fast and furious. In fact, we're kind of working on getting together a page that will have multiple news items so that we can get information out quickly to everybody that is watching Camelot to see what is the hottest news out there. So so this is something that I knew years ago was going to happen, and anywhere we're going to work in that direction. Sorry about the background noise.
The solar flares, are really important right now because of the positioning of the planets. And what's happening is, it's like, I'm not a scientist, and as I said to you already, many other people could get into the absolute scientific details of this. I speak from a place where these beings spoke to me from so that I could understand it on just a really basic level. but it has to do with a lot of the Earth changes that are happening have to do with the positions of the planets in themselves and what pressure point, where the pressure is coming from in the galaxy and the universe. And so when it's like saying, if you blow, if you take your hand and you put your breath on it and you blow on it and you take your second hand and put it behind, the amount of air that reaches your second hand is going to be limited because that planet's in the way. Well, right now we've had something moved out of the way. So now all of the pressure is directly onto us. And that's part of what's happening even with the sun. So the sun having this extra molecule, you know, we're talking about molecules here traveling through our solar system. It's coming and hitting Earth as well as the rest of the planets and causing solar storms that are happening out there also. And then they're traveling and coming towards the Earth also. And all of that molecular change is affecting absolutely everything. And what people have been talking about, I know there's been, again, you'll know more than I do, about they've been seeing things around the sun. I know that there's something on the other side of the sun right now, and that it's moving towards the sun itself. I don't know what it is. I just have that impression that it's there. And if that's the case, that's going to put more pressure onto the sun, which is also going to cause these larger solar flares. What's interesting about this is that the indigenous communities out there are very familiar with this secular cycle that we're in, and they are very aware about where we are in the position of the stars themselves and how that has an effect on the planet. And they're aware that this, at this time, not on this day, but through this window that we're in right now, is when all of these massive changes on the planet take place because of this pressure from the universe itself coming towards us.
Yes, and another thing that just wanted to say that there's very positive energy coming as well, and it is making it possible for us to meditate and to go into altered states if you just sort of tap into that. So I just want to throw that out for the people that are maybe also feeling that. And anyway, I think that we're very much in this whole craziness. The fact that the Hopi are coming forward, I think, is a good sign, personally at least, because I believe that, you know, it's time that they open up and share with the world in a greater way. And I feel that of all indigenous peoples at this time. In fact, I feel that an openness, understanding that the secrecy of the past is just that. It's the past. It's old paradigm. There needs to be a lot of transparency in what goes on as we go forward into this new sort of age, so to speak. And I mean a new age in the good sense of that. There's it's not going to be easy as people become more and more psychic and telepathic and start tapping into what's really going on. Their ability to discern the truth from falsity increases, and going back into secrecy and separation is not going to be the answer of the day. And
it's not an option.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to me because I think women are tapping into this even more so on a subliminal level than men at this time. In other words, there's sort of, maybe it's because we're close to the earth on a certain level, on a, you know, a physiological level. We resonate with the earth, and there's a sense that secrecy, this kind of male separation, secrecy, elitism is a thing of the past. And if you find yourself going into that land then I think you need to sort of wake yourself up and sort of shake yourself and realize that's old school.
That is so interesting that you brought that up, Carrie, because secrecy is what can breed anger, resentment, wars. Secrecy creates many things that are on the negative side. And I'm in a very strange situation in my life, being a woman, and being a woman in the heart of some of the communities that I walk in, such as the Hopi, and where, you know, it's the men that are the overseers of their community. I mean, they're the ones that are in charge, but they're not in charge of everything. The women have their place in Hopi as well, which is really beautiful. They're very much clear on what their roles are and how to conduct themselves and what they need to do, and it's really extraordinary. But the male and female issue on the planet is becoming more and more and more relevant all the time. And I can get attacked by a lot of men by saying what I'm about to say. The time of men being in charge of this planet is over. The male has taken on so much ego and so much control and power that it's like he's gone insane. They've gone insane to a degree. I mean, just over the top. Some of the prophecies of the indigenous is that they will come back together again, meaning the tribes of people will come back together again, that their voices will rise, that they will share their knowledge, which they have been, and they're working up that all the time all over the world right now, that they will share their knowledge. And also, many of them, in fact, have prophecies that the women will once again will actually step into that place and that position of leadership. And I know that right now there's been a lot of conversations with different tribes of people around the planet talking about how the women need to come back in balance with the men. So, and then other tribes that are just gone ballistic over that, saying women will never take over anything. And I think that those people with those tribes are really lost. And that they don't remember the original instructions that were given to them because they couldn't possibly. Men and women are equals on the planet. They were always supposed to be. And we're just learning that process. And that's part of what this transition is all about also. Kiri, I always think about this because, of course, you're in the position that you're in as a woman. It is very challenging for people to accept women in a role of authority or a role of that has power, let's say, for lack of a better term. And the indigenous communities very much understand that if this isn't in balance between men and women, that we will never succeed in our lives and in these cycles that we're in. So it's very fascinating that we are talking about women, or you brought up women, because it's been at the forefront of my mind recently again. Because I'll tell you what happened once, many, many, many years ago, and I'd have to look back through my records and sit and think about it. But many years ago, I had an opportunity to meet with some of these very high traditional leaders in Hopi. I never talked about it then. And I sat at a table with these men, and it's almost like being interrogated in a very good way, by the way. A lot of questions were asked of me, and they said to me, at one point they said, why did they send a woman? Why are you a woman? Everything in our society says that the men are in charge. Women do not sit at the table with the men to have these kinds of discussions, to do this kind of work, to make decisions like this. Why did they send a woman? And the answer that I gave still stands. It said that the balance between men and women was completely out of sync, and that a woman has the ability to be very, very, very strong like a man, but it's very difficult for men to be soft like a woman. So a woman is, in essence, can be everything, and it's more difficult and challenging for a man to step into both roles, let's say, of life itself here on the planet. And really, the bankers, let's call them, because that's the way I think of men, as being the bankers of the world, the big bankers, the ones that have taken over this planet and are ruling it and destroying it. In fact, a lot of them are men. 98-99% of them are men. So the women have to come forward and use our strength and our voices to get this change. And everywhere where I look, it's women starting groups, organizations, projects all over. And the men are also, but it has really been a huge transition in the last 3, 4, 5 years with women taking on this role to put the planet back in balance again. And realistically, I said to the Hopi when we had this discussion that I said, with all due respect, I said to them, with all due respect, I said, when it's time for this planet to change and when messages need to be carried out to the world, I said, do you really think they're going to listen to another man getting in front of the world and babbling and saying, you know, all of these, you know, telling us more of what we need to do? I said, it will be the voices of the women that do this. I said, it won't be the men. So I thank you and honor you for your work, Carrie, as a woman.
Thank you. Likewise. And I do want to say that, I mean, we do know that the feminine is in the prophecies, that the feminine is going to come into balance with the male. It is not going to be the switch that happened in the past where, you know, it goes from patriarchy to matriarchy. So we're not talking about competitiveness here. We are talking about going back into balance. And my understanding of the future is actually co-creativity of the male and female, what are called the twins, working together to create the future in balance. But to get to that place of balance is going to be required that there be a sort of rebalancing in which the feminine comes to the fore for a short time and starts and takes command, so to speak. And that is already happening. And as you say, we see it around us. And I have to say that there also needs to be a different understanding of what it means to be feminine, because this is something that people also have put into sort of these, I don't know, role models as to what that means and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that men will have to come into their more feminine self. We're talking left brain, right brain. There has to be, in other words, when you've been emphasizing one side of the brain for all these years on planet Earth, and especially in Western society, because in the Eastern society there is to some degree more of a balancing in terms of the what they say is, I guess, the right side of the brain being the feminine and, you know, the yin yang. So what we're talking about is a rebalancing. We're talking about going into the feminine, and there has to be an opening up of that whole chamber and letting the energy flow. And so that energy flow is going to look as though perhaps for a time women are starting to take a more dominant role. But in reality, all it is a rebalancing. And ultimately, I think what we're going to see is these co-creative groups of male and female. And at no point will the men be running things anymore. So there is going to be a stepping down of the male, and rightly so. There's been a lot of failure on that level. There was a karmic sort of debt paid and so on. And this goes, there are racial debts as well, and all of this rebalancing. This is what's going on planet Earth. In other words, the races who have gone back over time, and even interplanetary wars. I mean, that's what this grand experiment is all about, is all the different races coming here to be at one place at one time, and to try to get along, to do it better than we did it last time around, which was Atlantis. And and we've really come to the new time now. So it's really up to us to sort of take control and take command of this situation. The men that I'm seeing that are stepping up at this time that are honorable are the ones that are in touch with their female side, so to speak, and they are also listening to the women in their lives.
Absolutely, Carrie. Absolutely. Very, very beautifully put, truly. It is about the rebalancing between all of the energies, and we're actually looking at that. We may be saying right now men and women and balancing, but looking at it at the much larger, grander scale of what it is that's happening with the black ops and the different organizations out there that are trying to take control of these situations. It's this energy that they're trying to stop us from having. And there's no way for that to take place. There's no way. Because these solar flares are literally opening your minds. They're opening our minds. Our DNA is changing as a result of this energy hitting the earth. And my sister and I were just here the other day, and I said, you know, we're both creaking and cracking. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, man, I said, we're getting old. And she looked at me and she laughed. And I said, isn't it crazy? Don't you think sometimes that we're just a couple of kids that are running around the house here and we're just playing? I said, it's so strange how old we're getting. And she looked at me and she said, well, we may be older, but compared to our parents, we aren't nearly as old as what they were at the same time. Very interesting statement that she made. Something to think about also.
Well, I mean, I actually dressed just like I did when I was 16. I don't know if that means late, but, you know, no, I'm really serious. I mean, there is a huge Kundalini awakening, and that does make you live longer. That's a natural way that you can enhance your sort of physicality, and people are definitely living longer and staying more vibrant the older they get. Humans were supposed to live a lot longer than we do anyway. Let's take calls as soon as we go to the break, and also encourage people in the chat room. We do have a chat room, in case you don't know. Go to the front page of Camelot and click on the chat room if you'd like to join us there and ask questions. If you could put your questions in all caps for Miriam, that would be great. Miriam, you've also had some challenges health-wise. How are you doing right now?
I'm fairly good right now. I have had some recent challenges. When I was in Hopi, I was bit by a tick, which, as many of people know, can be very, very, very serious. And I'm fortunate that everything turned out the way that it did. They had to cut it out of my my buttocks. It bit me in the ass. Sorry, can I say that on the air? And so,
hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, listening to your radio, and we're talking to Miriam Delicato about all sorts of things going on during the shift, and we've also opened the lines for callers. And it looks like, do we have a caller on the line? Otherwise, I'll take a look at the chat. Doesn't look like we don't have a caller at the moment. Okay. So let me see if there's anyone putting a question for you. What are you doing for the winter solstice this December? Someone is asking.
I'm going to be in Egypt with Carrie Cassidy and many other people. We're going to be touring the entire region, as well as having an extraordinary meditation, and we are going to be focused on, at least I'm going to be focused the entire time leading up to the solstice, on my thoughts and keeping them very, very, very clear and focused on divine light and looking to the future. So I'm really going to be aware this year, especially, of my thoughts leading up to the solstice, not just on the solstice. But Carrie, we're going to have a meditation there on one of the days. Is that on the actual solstice itself?
Well, it will be in the Great Pyramid. I believe it's the day before. They're closing the pyramid, by the way, to groups on the 21st. So I guess they want it all to themselves, the powers that be. And so we're going to be there, I believe it's the day before, but we're also going to be doing meditations nonstop the entire time. Going to Egypt is actually puts you in a higher state of mind. Just being in close proximity to those pyramids, I can tell you, puts you in an altered state right from the get-go, the minute you get off the plane. And anyone who's been to Egypt will know what I'm talking about. It's just incredibly powerful. And we are going to a number of places that are, you know, at least as powerful in some ways as the Great Pyramid. So it's going to be sort of jam-packed with places to meditate and so on. We're also going to be going out to the desert and the oasis, which is going to be really incredible. And we're also going to have an extra, for those that don't have to go home on Christmas, we're going to be staying over and going to the Red Sea and to Sharm el Sheikh and hanging out and luxuriating in the sun and stuff in the middle of December. So that will be fun for people that can stay over that those extra few days. Anyway, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a very interesting trip. We've got some fabulous speakers coming with us already, and I imagine that we might have a few more join us at the last minute. But at the moment, we've got Michael Tellinger, and we've got, Rebecca Jernigan and Hugh Newman. And Hugh, for those of you, I did a short interview with Hugh. I met him at the pyramids. It's going to be kind of coming full circle and going back. And we're going to also have a filming crew, if all things go as planned, that is led by Jonathan Adams, who works with Hugh Newman. And they are the megalithomania sort of originators of that organization and that sort of yearly conference, and people who follow Camelot will know about megalithomania. But so we're going to be looking at the pyramids from a lot of different perspectives and getting different expertise. Michael Tellinger will bring his information regarding the Anunnaki. We'll be looking at that angle. We'll be looking at it from energetics. And I think we will have a few others on the trip, although at the moment I don't have any new confirmations. I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen in that score.
Mm-hmm. I see a couple of questions here in this chat, Carrie, and one of them pops out to me.
Great.
If I may, they're asking, how much does Miriam know about the connection between the Hopi and the Anasazi? Well, the word Anasazi actually came from the Navajo people, and it is not the name of the people that actually lived in that particular area. The Anasazi, as the general information out there in the public up to now, is the people that lived in the Four Corners area in the stone cliff dwellings. And those are the Pueblo people. It's not only the Hopi, but that is the ancestral land of the Hopi people. That is where they came from Canyon. From Canyon de Chelly area, from Chaco, from Mesa Verde. And the entire history of the Hopi is tied in very, very, very closely to that particular area. So you're really talking about their ancestors, and that's who they are. There's another question here. I don't know, Miriam, what is your dad's military intelligence job? Can you tell us a little bit about him? Well, I can tell you that it's 8:30 and I still haven't fed him. He's going, I had to make him dinner and I didn't quite get it to him on time tonight. So he's probably wondering where I'm at. My father is 86 years old and he lives next door to me here. And he is an interesting man who did work, I guess you could say work, I'm not sure, serve, during the Second World War as a young lieutenant. He was only 14 years old when he was actually working with and telling other soldiers what to do. He had, I know that he must have had some divine guidance because he's told stories when he was younger where in his earlier years he would tell stories of whole, I don't know what they call them, the platoons that would go in and he would be the only person that was left alive. But he was telling me stories the other day because his memory is starting to go and he's repeating himself. And he was talking to me about being in the war and he was talking about what he was doing during that time. And he ran away from the whole outfit for a while. He was going from town to town and he was telling me how he would just, you know, go to a new place and he had one blanket with him and he'd just lay down wherever he happened to be and he'd go to sleep. And he said, man, he said, I always had food. He said, you know, I did really well. And he kind of chuckled at me and he said, you know, I was okay. And I said to him, so you're really lucky. And he looked at me and he got really serious and he said, luck had nothing to do with it. I survived because of what I knew. And I think that that's an important point to share with the listeners. My father was during the war.
That's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that maybe that's also good advice for going through this time.
Absolutely. I thought to myself, after he said that to me, I thought, man, I need to make a video. Because
you interview your father.
Oh, I would love to interview my father. I've tried to get him to do that, and I may actually be trying again now that I'm home for a little bit, because he's a fascinating man with extraordinary stories, not only about what, you know, his war stories, which are fascinating in itself, but I got to tell you again, I mean, you guys are gonna flip out when he says this. There is a mountain where he grew up in Slovenia, the former Yugoslavia. And he was talked to me about this mountain so many times, it's incredible. I don't know the name of it. I've got it written down somewhere. He told me about this man who, there's caves that go into this massive mountain. And in this massive mountain, there are fish in this mountain that he said looked human. This is very interesting.
Okay.
A couple of days ago, I'm over with my father because I have to go there all the time. You know, I have to. I'm helping to take care of him a little bit right now with just bringing him meals and things and checking on him. And I'm sitting down listening to his repetitive stories because he's losing his memory. But this time, he said it again. He was telling me the story of going into this mountain and how when he went into the mountain he saw some fish and he said it as if he's talking about, you know, cherry chocolate pie or something. I don't know. He's it's so casual to him. He said, yeah, the fish had skin, like human skin. He said, yeah. And then he just continues on with his story. Fascinating stuff, Carrie. Love to get an interview out of him.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, we know there are aquatic beings that are humanoid, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he wasn't correct and being kind of well, he's highly psychic. It's part of the reason why you were approached, right, when you were young.
Yes, I mean that goes back to the story that he told about being approached by the Russian, what he called the Russian psychic army, to go into a program, a secret program for gifted people who would then be super trained with the psychic and would you know, they were looking for people to become part of those projects of looking into the future. And he always told me and warned me not to ever go with these people. And I always thought he was nuts. When I was really young, I thought, man, that's it. But then when I was 23, 24, and this man walked up to me and, you know, coldly looked at me and asked me to join the Russians in this psychic program with other people that would, you know, were like me. I mean, that was it for me. I just thought, wow, you know, my dad was telling all these stories to me for all these years and they're true. So there, you know, I mean, when I, like you said, Carrie, you can try to deny it until it starts to happen to you, and then you can't deny it anymore. So it's really, really, really challenging to go through that shifting paradigm of where you were to where something is at with you, and then how that looks into the future. Very, very, very challenging. But so my father is a very interesting man. I'm hoping that maybe I will be able to get some stories out of him before he passes. And then after he's gone, with the permission of my family, I'll let them go, because he's a fascinating man. And my history is tied to his. And actually, there's aspects of my history that at some point I will get him to tell certain stories. There's one in particular that I want to share specifically. And I have to wait until after he's gone, and I have to wait for the right moment, and then I'll share that story. But that one's one of the most fascinating stories I've heard from him. So very, very interesting.
I'm going to wait with bated breath for that. And
oh, my gosh, yes.
I mean, he sounds like a fascinating guy. I'd love to hear an interview with him. So I encourage you to get a video camera and just get right in there, and let's record him before he passes. We've got more questions coming up for you in here. So I think that we should sort of try to grab them. I'm afraid they're going kind of fast and furious about this time. One thing that passed me by that I think that people wanted, we're sort of repeating just so you can cover it. They want to know if you think that there's going to be anything go on at the London Olympics. That's a big hot topic lately.
When, tell me the date, please. I'm so...
It's the London Olympics start, I believe it's the 27th of July, and they go until the 12th of August. So they're kind of gearing up for it right now, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Whew, man. Wherever the Olympics are taking place is going to be fine. I just saw a disaster happening somewhere just outside of that, though, in some location that they're not paying attention to. Maybe a smaller community where some of the people are staying outside of the city. I don't know what that means or what that is, but that's what I see. Other than that, I'm not picking up on anything. So there's going to be, I think that there's going to be some bombings, actually. But not in the city itself and not around the event, but outside of the event where they're not paying as much attention.
Okay. Well, I can tell people that they're gearing up for something. Obviously, people know this. They're moving ships into the area of the, you know, the Middle East and all of that. So we've got more. Apparently, they just moved some more equipment over there. I think drones and so on. This was in the news in the last day. I got a story that's kind of a fascinating story that, you know, I don't want to take your time to tell, but I'm going to have this very interesting man. His name is Peter Eyre on my show, and hopefully he will tell that story. But it has to do with some nukes that made their way all the way from South Africa and ended up in Syria. And this is part of the reason why they're going to try to drum up a war with Syria, because they want those nukes back. Whether it's true or not, you know, I can't tell. But, you know, Peter Eyre, certainly, he's a journalist, a Middle Eastern journalist who absolutely, and he's English, who thinks that that this is definitely a true story. So anyway, that's just a sidelight. What we should do is look at a couple more things. One person.
Been joined by a caller.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, I heard Miriam say at the beginning or around in the second hour of the show she'd probably get some flack, and I didn't want her to go home feeling unfulfilled, so I'm here to give you a little. And I agree with both of what the ladies said about the qualities of woman and what they can do. I feel you had all that. I'll be 56 in a few months, and when I was a child, I saw that all the women had that while they were staying at home. They were running a house. They were raising the children. If the children had any questions, you always went to mom. You didn't go to dad for guidance. And then these boys in black came up with these idea to, about women's lib. And the Rockefellers supplied it, gave money to it, because they figured they could collect twice the amount of taxes. And ever since then, our country's fallen apart. The women got into the workplace. The children grow up at daycare centers. And, well, seriously, I mean, I felt you had the power when you, as it was looked down upon back then, the name, a housewife. And now that you're in the public, you're in the working place, you're in the families are split apart, you have single mothers, you have single fathers. Anyway, I'll go. I know you don't have much time left, but I'll let you reply to that and I'll hang up.
I think that there's a point to that. I think that that's sort of an issue where confusion begins to set in, because the place of a woman as a mother is with children, and that's part of what's wrong with the society. It doesn't mean that women should all be housewives and not be making any decisions or becoming participants. It means that the entire system is broken down. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't necessarily believe that we all need to go back to being housewives either. But it is a strong statement. There's three things that have come up here that I can get to real quick here if we have enough time. What is space and how far does it go? And have my ETs discussed other dimensions with me? Before I get to that, I'd like to make a very important statement, and that is, within the next 6 months or so, and maybe this is what I'm picking up on, I'm not sure entirely, there is going to be a very massive error that a human being or a group is going to make on the planet, and it is going to be devastating for the world. Whether that is going to be a nuclear strike or whether it is going to be something falling from the earth, which is a vision that I've had recently, or whether it's going to be some kind of a meltdown, I'm not sure. But it's going to be human error, not intention, but human error that's going to cause a very big disaster in the world. So, and I have been picking up on that. Another question is, what is space and how far does it go? Space does not end. It's continuous. And when we think about that from our mindset as human beings, we can't rationalize that. Matter itself bends back on itself. It doesn't mean that it ends. It doesn't mean it has a beginning or that there's an end to it. It means that it never stops. So there is no ending to space itself. The other question that was there was slipping away here so quickly on me.
Well,
ETs
go right ahead.
The ETs discuss is about the different dimensions. We're talking about the different dimensions all the time. And we're talking about energy, the way that we meditate, think, how we bring something into reality. If you want something to be in your reality, you need to say it out loud. You need to sing it. You need to state it, not just think it and not just meditate on it. You need to not just write it out. You need to state it, and you need to be very clear with it. That's part of the way to create from another dimension. These other dimensions are around us all the time. We're just not aware of them. What being psychic is and being able to, quote, see through the veil is about being able to see these other dimensions. As Carrie stated, she's looking into another dimension when she starts to see the sun shifting. If I'm not seeing it, it means I'm not noticing the dimension that she's looking at right now. And those are all around us all the time. Carrie?
Okay, someone else was asking about physical signs of that may be showing to experience the shift. It's one of the earlier questions that got overlooked.
Sorry, say that again.
The question is, what are the physical signs that should be looked for as you experience the shift? And as far as physical signs, I don't know if they mean their body or the world around them, but maybe you can address.
This is actually very, very interesting, because the physical shifts that you'll be able to notice is that, for example, you'll be a little more hypersensitive to your body in different shifting changes within your body itself. You will become a little bit more quick at having those synchronicities come up in your life. That's a physical thing that manifests around you. Another physical thing for most people is the 11-11 phenomenon. They'll start to see the numbers, the repetitive numbers, 11-11 through 222, 555, 333. And so they'll see a lot of those repetitive numbers. That's another physical shift. And something else that's really interesting is you'll start to see little dots in front of your eyes. It's another physical shift that you'll start to see as you move forward through this transition into the other dimensions. Because if you're in a meditation and you're really deep in the meditation, and you're really feeling, you know, you're really sensing that your body is shifting itself in an energetic, open your eyes for a moment and look at the world around you. You'll be able to actually physically see a difference in the world. And that's a physical thing that will happen. As far as our bodies itself, the healing time is much quicker, but that also means that the damage that we do can be much harsher. So we have to be aware of that as well. It's all amplified. our emotions are stronger. So we have to keep ourselves in balance as best we can with our emotional selves, whether it being happy, sad, euphoric, whatever the case may be. And the other physical shifts with the DNA changes are that we are younger. We're looking younger. We're feeling younger. We're acting younger. Our skin is going to be different. And you may even notice some physical changes on the body itself. That are taking place that you're saying, you know, I'm too old for this. What is it that's happening? So those are some of the things to look for. But over and above all of that, if you find yourself elevating far too quickly, just take a moment to go outside and stand on the earth with your bare feet or put your hands on the earth and ask the earth to help ground you. Don't just think it. Don't just meditate it. Physically do it. Carrie?
Yeah, that's wonderful. I was actually talking to some friends last night and telling them to go out and ask the plants to help them and to take the energy from the electronics out of their system. Because all you have to do is go near a plant and open your hands and just let it flow out all this, you know, junk that comes in from the matrix, and the plants will take it in and they will recycle it and put it out as beautiful energies. And that's part of their mission here on Earth. And so that's, you know, kind of very close to what you were just saying, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love that part of this, because the Earth and the plants are really here to assist us in what way they can. And they can take it. They can give us the grounding that we need. And remember that when you're doing meditations to go into the Earth and out to the universe, and then out in all directions, you're not just connecting to the Earth. You're connecting to the universe as well, and allow that energy to flow through you. The chakras are something that I don't necessarily... I use my chakras, I open them up, I don't use them in the way that most people do with different colors and visualizing all of that. I've always used the white light during my meditations, always, either white or gold. And entering into the different dimensions, someone said, are we going to become 4D or 5D beings? I'm sorry to tell you this, but... it is almost a ridiculous thought that people have, in my opinion, by even thinking or contemplating on this way, because it's limiting yourself. We're on the earth.
we're going to stay in these bodies, thank you very much, but we're shifting ourselves energetically to be able to blend more easily with the energies that are around us, to have those veils lifted. It doesn't mean that we're going to be floating around the planet, because, you know, if you want to be floating around the planet in a light body, then you need to die and go on to the other dimension, because that's what those other dimensions are about. But what it does mean, the shift, is that we're going to be able to communicate with those other dimensions.